and I'm blowing the shofar.
All right.
You are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. I am Zaphnat Pahania, and listen to this. Everybody take a stand and join the caravan of love. I am Khalid Zaphnat Pahania L, and you are in the royal room. Thankful to those of you in BBS radio audience and to those of you who are in the royal room tonight. We're going to jump right into our discussions tonight. Avatia, how are you doing out there tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Oh, you're doing fantastic.
Say it again.
I didn't know who you were talking to. I'm sorry.
I said, how are you?
Oh, you were talking to me. I'm great. I'm good.
Oh, well, good. Great. Hallelujah. Pass the ammunition. Let's talk tonight. What did you say?
I'm not doing handstands. It's hanging on my head. It's not that good.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about a few things tonight that's going on that's shake, rattling, and rolling our country. Some of the discussions that they want us to engage in. We're going to talk about some things tonight concerning the flag and the shooting over in South Carolina again. And talk about the Pope's visit, the energies that are coming in. And, of course, let's talk a little bit about tonight's topic, which will be the heart of the lion macabre activation. The heart of the lion macabre activation. Or Merkaba. Or Merkaba. We're going to talk about this acceleration of our energies and our temple vibrations so that we can hold the vibration with our solar system as it ascends the galactic plane, and some of the things that may be trying to stop us from holding those vibrations. We've been talking about them for several weeks now, and we've been adding a log, so to speak, to the fire every week in our attempts to make this plain and clear. Of course, there are some there are a lot of events, I guess I should say, that are kind of coming to a head in the month of September. A lot of things are converging in that month. We have a smittah that's happening in the month of September that is based upon the feast days of the Jewish calendar, as we call it. And we also have a jubilee that is based upon Leviticus chapter 25 in our Bibles. We also have we have the Smitah that's happening, the Jubilee that's happening, and we have the Pope's visit that's happening all at the same time, coming together in this sacred time. And the blood moons, by the way, the tetrad of the blood moons are occurring at this time, along with a visit from the Pope, who will be addressing Congress, if I'm not mistaken, the U.S. Congress, for the very first time, the very first Pope to address Congress in the history of our country. It will be the 266th day of the year that he arrives, as well as he is the 266th Pope, something along those lines. So those numbers all mean something. Let's jump right in tonight and start talking about this, because that visit has a lot to do with everything that's going on in this year, not only just in September, but there's a lot going on in this year, period. I mean, we have Jade Ham, we have the CERN, LD Collider, Particle Accelerator. I understand that it went down due to some kind of technical difficulties. And it's just a lot and a lot happening. Bishop from Freeport, how you doing, man? Your mic is open, Bishop from Shreveport. I'm looking at you. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm good. I'm good, Bishop.
What's on your mind tonight, man?
Oh, all is well. All is good. I can't do what I want to do with my phone because my phone has a complication. I can't see my layout.
Oh, you can't see the layout.
I can't talk with my earplug in my ear because it ain't coming through.
Oh, okay. All right.
So my information is in my phone.
Oh, man. Dawood, is that you or is that Omar? Your mic is open. Is that you? How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm glad you're with me. Listen, let's try to do this in 1 hour tonight and not run a marathon. I'm glad I have Professor with me. Dawood is here with me, so that makes me feel a whole lot better. We can jump right into what we want to talk about. And the first thing I'm going to jump into is, Elijah, if you don't mind, let's talk about this flag, because there's a lot of concern and a lot of talk about this flag coming down, and people are taking different positions on this flag. Especially, it seems to be something that is dividing us and separating us. And to me, I don't see the significance of this flag, because to me, it represents something that is just a symbol and not necessarily the source or substance of what is really going on in our country and in our world. And I think it's a distraction. And I think it's something that is a false flag to get
exactly
us to look away
is.
From, to get, go ahead.
That's exactly what it is. Were you aware that the, the minister that died in that supposed shooting. That was one of his major pushes through the church, was that he wanted to eliminate. Now, this is the story. I don't believe it, but this is the story. That he wanted to remove the Confederate flag. And I will contend to everyone that the Confederate flag is actually the true flag of the 13 colonies. This flag that we know today that went on to be the red, white, and blue, and, you know, Betsy Ross made it, blah, blah, actually is a British flag. Next time you have a chance, look at what the British flag looks like and then ask yourself that question.
Oh, wow. Professor, what do you say about the flag?
You talking about the Confederate flag?
Yes.
Oh, nothing.
That's a good answer.
It means absolutely nothing. It's a defeated country that tried to tear apart the United States, and actually, in a way, it did, because it destroyed the Republic when the South walked out. So me being raised in Michigan and in Canada, I don't really give two hoots about that flag. They lost the war. It wasn't for certain esoteric communities in the South. That flag shouldn't have been flying nowhere in the public, in no city, no state in the South, no government. It was just a form of them trying to say we proud of our nonsense. It's a bunch of foolishness. The flag should have been in a museum in the basement with dust over it since they lost the Civil War. They lost. They did not win. You're not preserving anything. So I don't care about it. Either way, they can take it down, leave it up. We have bigger problems than that.
Exactly.
So now, yeah. in other words, Bishop from Shreveport, to me, it's just wasting time. We're wasting time in this call and wasting time listening to news media blasts, people pontificating, give speeches, and all this about something that is really a distraction. Can we really identify what is it that maybe we are being distracted from seeing? Any thoughts about that from any of you? Richard from Shreveport, what is maybe this, besides dividing us, besides bringing a wedge that drives us further and further apart from each other based upon racism, what is it to... Is it that you may think that they don't want us to see? What is it? What are they trying to keep us from seeing and focusing on?
Well, I'm like you. The Confederate flag is going to throw the focus off of what our mind really need to be on. Our mind needs to be focused on why in the hell is the Pope coming to America, down the flag, because we've been murdered under the American flag, and as far as I'm concerned, here they can throw both flags out, because ain't no flag in America, no flag of no kind, done anything for my people in America. So all flags, as far as I'm concerned, I'm like a moot. All flags or falls need to be somewhere in a basement collecting dust. The flag we need to be watching is them three crowns that the Pope gonna have on his head when he come to America.
Wow, now you brought up something interesting there. He brought up Lavia, did you hear him talk about the three crowns? And it's interesting that he would mention the three crowns. So let's talk about the first crown. What is that first crown?
Well, you got an echo, sir.
I know someone in my vicinity walked in while I was talking, and they had their phone on. Okay, but it should be gone. Is it gone?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's talk about that first crown. What is that first crown? It's a triple crown he mentioned. And if we talk about that first crown on the Pope, what
what we're talking about is something that has to do with, well, the name of the first crown, let me just give it to you, is Romanus Pontifex, which comes over from Unum Sanctum, which was done in 1305. But Romanus Pontifex is 14, I believe somewhere around 1480, 81. And Romanus Pontifex, the first crown, is the crown of the land, which gives the Pope and the Vatican the perpetual use of the land. Unum Sanctum went into Romanus Pontifex, and Romanus Pontifex, all land is claimed by this crown as a crown land. And under the first Sister Kazai, when a child is born, it is deprived of all of the beneficial entitlements and rights on the land. That is the first crown that gives the Pope and the Vatican, the Roman Empire, the right to deprive all people of every beneficial entitlement and rights on the land. That is the first crown. And the second crown is very, very interesting. That's the one that was done in 1481. I'm sorry. And that is the crown of the Commonwealth. And let's talk a little bit about that, because this crown of the Commonwealth, I think, has a lot to do with what went on in South Carolina, just given the history of South Carolina. The crown of the Commonwealth, which is Eterni Regis, which means the eternal crown. And this crown was given by Sixtus IV, and it's the crown of Spain in 1481. And this crown is given to the highest steward or sovereign of all slaves that are subject, all Roman slaves that are subject to the rule of the Roman pontiff, or the pontiff, yes. And France, or Spain rather, lost this crown in 1604, and it was granted to King James the First of England by Pope Paul the Fifth. And then eventually, this crown was given back to Spain in 1975, and it is there to this day to King Carlos the First in Spain. So this crown of the Commonwealth, Eterni Regis, eternal crown, is the second crown, and the second Sesticavi, the testamental testament, states that when a child is born, and by a sale of birth certificate as a bond to the private central bank of that nation, deprives ownership of the flesh of that person born and condemns that person to a perpetual servitude as a Roman, get this now, legally the word, person equaling slave. A person is not the same word that we define the word person in our normal lexicons or dictionaries, but this is a legalese term, person meaning someone that is a straw man, a corporate fiction. And that person is condemned in the second crown to a perpetual servitude or slave. Now, how do they do this? By the birth certificate. If you have a birth certificate, it is on bond paper. It has a bank name on it. One of three banks in America that go into the central bank, and you are traded. Now, I'm going to stop here because Professor can talk about stock market and how we are traded on the stock market and who actually starts this. Now, we've talked about perpetual servitude, slavery, being locked up in this crown. So we're not just talking about a black issue here. And I want to make that very clear. If you have a birth certificate, whether you're black, brown, yellow, red, or if you're European. You have a birth certificate. The second crown makes you a perpetual slave. Now listen to this, legally, because you are now legally a slave. Professor, talk to us a little bit about that and the stock market and this birth certificate.
Yeah, I'm here. It's just all commerce. I mean, he was right about the triple crowns. I mean, they basically own you, especially if you've been baptized. So, they trade those instruments, those negotiable instruments on the stock market as preferred stock. So, it's all tied in together with the Bar Association, because it's tied in with the royal families of Europe. It's all tied in together. It's one big Ponzi scheme, and the people are like, it's a pyramid, like they're at the top. Well, actually, Lucifer's at the top, and the people are at the bottom, holding all that nonsense up. But it's real sad. I don't know why he's coming here. I mean, I'm thinking it's nothing good. It can't be anything good. So everybody watch out, do your due diligence, study, and be aware.
So you think the division that's being stirred up a lot yet, that we're being pushed to be divided against each other when we are all classified through this birth certificate, if we have one. Now, there's a difference between a birth certificate and a live certificate. And we don't want to get into that tonight because that's not the discussion. What I want to tie this into is South Carolina and what happened at that church and the historic implications concerning this church and a particular man by the name of Denmark Vesey, who was a slave that won his freedom in 1802, and his wife and children were still in slavery there in Charleston, South Carolina. And this particular person was one of the organizers, the lead organizer of the church there, the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is one of the oldest African-American churches in the country, black churches in the country, about 200 years old. He had planned to throw off slavery in that very city, in that very church, where about 1,800 people were gathering way back in the 1800s, okay? This is the 19th century. And he had planned this for June the 17th, 1822. And this is the very date that Storm Roof, went into this church and shot 9 people. Now, 9, again, we talked about the significance of 9, and we can get lost in that. But my point here is the issue is slavery. The issue is slavery. And somehow or another, this flag is equated with slavery. And yet, the real issue of slavery has to do with not this flag, but something that took place June 18, 1452. Now, this is in my book, My Nigger, different from the word that the president used the other day when he was referencing and talking about what happened at the church. He used the word nigger. I want you to notice the difference that I'm using a different word from what the president used, nigger. He put the G on it. He kind of growled. I said nigger, not nigger. Okay. Now, my book is nigger. And on page 101 in my book, talk about slave trade sanctioned by the Roman Catholic Church June 18th, 1452, when Pope Nicholas V issued a papal bull, a bill called Dom Diversum. And this papal bill, or order, granted the King of Spain and Portugal authority to invade, search out, capture, subjugate non-believers, and reduce them to, get this, perpetual slavery. Now, that crown, that second tiara, that the triple tiara, the triple crown, that second crown is still in Spain. Went back in 1975 and is still there. So who really started the slave trade? Who really started it? A lot of you. Take over for a minute. Tell us what's on your mind with this subject.
slave trade, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, but it goes all the way back to Babylon. Because it's those same Babylonian Tamil priests who started the Holy Roman Catholic Church. So this has been going on for thousands of years, the slavery. It's nothing new under the sun. They just package it up in a different gift box.
Okay. But now here you have a document. Listen, people. You have a document called the Bull Dom Diversity. You can trace this to June 18, 1452. 500 years ago. Why am I focusing on this particular year, this particular date and time? Because we're going back in history some 500 years, okay? That's very critical. It's very crucial for us to understand these dates because we are in a jubilee. This has to do with something, 500 years, with the Pope's arrival and his anticipated announcement of announcing a jubilee. Now, some people are saying, as Professor just said, that I don't think it's nothing good. Let me play God's advocate here instead of the devil's advocate. He played the bad cop. Let me play the good cop. Let's just say that the Pope is coming now because, you know, you've been exposed. The cat's out the bag. Your hand's been caught in the cookie jar. We know that you have placed the world and those with a birth certificate in perpetual slavery. Let's just say that the Pope is coming on the sacred days in September to make the announcement of the Jubilee based upon all of the cosmic stuff that's happening, which is another discussion that we hopefully will get to today. Let's just say that the Pope is coming to announce Jubilee. What is Jubilee? Well, in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 through 10, it talks about at the end of every 7 times 7, which is 49 years, there will be a jubilee. And everything in the land, all possessions that were taken, have to be returned back to their rightful owners. Now, since we are in not a 7 times 7, 7 Sabbaths or 7 jubilee, but we're in a 70 because of the sacred year. Sacred year, not of the Gregorian or Julian calendar, which will leave us somewhere around 2015. But we're in the sacred calendar, which is year would be 5,776, which gives us a total of 70 times 7, which puts us in a grand, great jubilee. And perhaps the Pope's arrival at the time of these celebrations is to announce Jubilee and the return of everything stolen from the people. He will return it. Let's say that's what's getting ready to happen. What do you guys say? Bishop from Shreveport.
Okay. Are you saying if that's what's happening, what's going to happen? Well, somebody is going to be blessed, and somebody's going to remain in the condition they are in. And because that is how the Shemitah works, starts out bad, ends up in victory. But I believe the people who is designed for the victory got to be prepared and got to know what's coming, got to know what's happening. I mean, if somebody come to town and tell me they got my gold downtown in the bank, and I don't hear the announcement, don't understand what's going on, somebody else is going to get my gold, my blessing. And so much has been taken from so many people in America who are here, just not only black folks, but there are other people who are here. And then there are other people here from other countries who have received restitution from what America has done to them. So my question is, being a black or Afro-American, Elijah, am I in the blessings this time around?
That's a good question. Are any of us really truly in that blessing? or what are the rules of engagement in order to get that blessing? I don't trust the Pope. I don't trust any of the cabal.
Well, it brings us back to the Constitution. We're not considered as a sovereign nation.
Exactly.
So we are trapped in the regions.
Yep. And I think that the Pope wants to bring in a one-world religion. He's already working on it. He had the Brunei over there today talking to them, which is a Zionist organization. Kind of like secret society type thing.
Okay, well let's try to hold them. Let's try to hold them accountable to this word right here. Let me play the good guy, the good cop again.
Okay.
And Leviticus 25:8 says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto you, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years." And then thou shalt call the trumpet. We've been blowing the trumpet on this line. Of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. 10th day of the 7th month. Remember that number 7. That's really important. 7 times 7, 7 Sabbaths of years. Then blow the trumpet on the 7th month. And we can talk about that. And thou shalt hallow or hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. So is the Pope coming to turn America back over to the Moors? Is the Pope coming to turn this land back over to the indigenous people? Is he coming really to give back all that they have taken in slavery? Now, if the Roman papal bull, Bulldom Diversus, in 1452 started the slave trade 500 years ago, and we're at the 500-year mark, this is a jubilee according to the Pope's own book that he uses. And if they started the slave trade, then who has benefited commercially from the slave trade the most? Where have all of the corporations that have become multi-billion dollar corporations on the backs of slavery, the blood, sweat, tears, life, service, and sacrifice of slaves, free labor? Who has been the primary beneficiary, and who has been, where is that, all of that gone? Where is all of that energy gone? Who has been the biggest beneficiary? Well, obviously the people who started it. And obviously the people who started it use this book that we call the Bible as their textbook. So you want to know one thing we can do? We can stand up and hold them accountable to this book.
By their own words.
We can hold them accountable to the word. Am I making sense?
Totally.
Brother Khalif.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. I had to mute out. I didn't hear the last 5-10 minutes. But anyway, I heard just what you just said. I just want to chime in on this one thing real quick. You said make them, hold them accountable for the book. Okay. We can do that. But then check it out, though. If we do that, they're going to have to multiply what they owe. Because, remember, chattel slavery was 268 years. There was no belief in that. There was no Sabbath in that. So now you have to multiply. You have to redo the math. Increase what they owe exponentially.
I'm listening. Go ahead. Work that out.
Yeah, just think about this. Just think about it. They never followed it. They never followed it. Okay?
Professor, about the Peace and Friendship Treaty and the grant, the 50-year grant from the Sultan of Morocco?
Right.
Barclay and to the founding fathers that they gave? Well,
right.
they were not given this land.
No, they wasn't. Pardon me? You're right, correct. That is correct. They wasn't given this land. They wasn't given the land.
So what we're talking about here is Washington, D.C., and we're talking about Washington, D.C., which is not America, but is the United States of America. A lot of you alluded to this a moment ago in her comment about the flag. And Washington, D.C. is a corporation.
Correct. 10 mile square radius is a corporation, right? Correct. It's a corporation.
Run by a president of the corporation, and it is controlled by whom? Who controls these corporations? And how did these corporations, what was the primary source of these corporations and their wealth? Slavery. Who did slavery?
The Pope.
We have documentation.
Yeah.
So this, as you just said, they've never honored this. Who has ever called them into accountability to honor this book?
Nobody.
What people in history at the 50-year mark, the 50-year mark, 250 years, now here we are at 500 years in the sacred year of 2015, 5,776 years, which number comes out to 7 again. There's that 7 again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming here on these holy days. He's Catholic, but he's coming on the holy days and feast days of Israel. During the Feast of Trumpets on the 13th, the Feast of Atonement on the 23rd, and the other feast on the Elul 28.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have on top of that something happening in the cosmos, which is a blood moon tetrad. The tetrads are happening. So we got the tetrads happening. We have a smitah happening, a great smitah, a collapse every 7 years. And we've got a jubilee now. And not just one regular kind of jubilee of 50 years, but we have a great jubilee of 500 years. And I'm saying maybe we should hold them accountable. I'm saying maybe the Pope is coming to pronounce jubilee.
I have a question. You know, the city of brotherly love, which there's an article out today that the mayor and everyone in Philadelphia are ready for the Pope's visit, and they're excited. Gentlemen, could you please help me to understand, isn't the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, the original capital of this country?
Professor is more of an expert on that. I'll let him answer.
Was that a question to you, Khalifa, or was it to me?
Any of you.
I deferred it to you.
Philadelphia was not the first. New York, Manhattan was New York.
New York, okay.
Philadelphia, then it was Washington.
Oh, the New York, because there's a York in Britain. Correct. Okay, that's right. So what's the significance, then, of him coming to Philadelphia along with going to D.C., to the Oval Office? We've talked about that last week, right, Dr. Khalif? And he's in his last visit is going to be to the U.N. to address the world. This should be interesting.
Well, he actually goes. You missed a couple of things there, and he comes in on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
On the 23rd, on the feast of Yom Kippur, he's at the White House.
Right.
And then I believe on the 24th or 25th, he addresses Congress, the first Pope ever in the history of a, mm-hmm. of the Congress to address Congress. I'm curious as to what he's going to say to Congress during this holy time now. This is supposed to be a holy time. Now, of course, when I say holy, you got to understand that I'm looking at the science that these guys are practicing. These days are falling on special days that have to do with cosmic precession, and it has to do with a lot of cosmology and astrology and some other things. So I'm not, when I say holy, Don't get religious on me. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about science, okay? Because those days fall right on these days of cosmic precession, and they are lined out as such. And there's a lot of things that are happening right there. But now, and when he leaves there on the, I think he goes to the UN on the 25th, I believe. I think he goes to Congress on the 24th, and then to New York on the 25th. And then on the 26th, 27th, through and the blood moon, he will be back in Philadelphia. And I think that's the schedule, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So he's here to do something. Now, Wu says not going to be good. I'm giving the old great goat the benefit of the doubt, and I'm saying the Pope is coming to give the indigenous people their land back, to free the slaves, do away with the birth certificate, do away with Attorney Regis, the eternal crown, relinquish his grip, stranglehold. I think the system will collapse. I'm saying I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they understand the cosmology. That's what's getting ready to happen, and we're getting ready to enter into a grand, great, and glorious jubilee.
Okay.
Okay.
It's such a perfect world, okay?
Well, now you guys are letting me have my way. You let me rake your phone.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right.
Me too.
I hope it don't come telling the asteroid gonna hit us in 3 months.
See, that's what I'm thinking, Abby. That's what I'm thinking he gonna do, Abby. He gonna come and say, "We got 3 months to live."
And hey, he don't make contact with aliens. Okay, all right.
That is the card they're getting ready to play.
Okay, yes, we make contacts with aliens, and asteroid is about to hit us. Or
yeah.
Okay, so they're not really coming to tell us about Jubilee, although we are here, clearly here, in a great Smitah. We're in a 7x7, 49 Smitah. And plus, we're in a super Smitah, in other words, 7x7. But we're also in the in a Jubilee, and we also have Blood Moon Tetrads going on. And I'm seeing that they're paying attention to these cosmic alignments and these planetary alignments. And the energies that are coming into the planet. They've got to know. They've got to know that these energies are coming in, and this is where the second half of the show is going. They've got to know that these energies are coming in to do something special for this planet.
Well, they've
got to know it because I know it.
Yeah. I think they got something special planned. It's a big party for them. Yeah.
So you think they plan on killing up a bunch and enforcing the Georgia Guidestones and reducing the population, having a prison planet with a slave population down to 500 million people? They're going to reduce population with some kind of aerosol virus in the sky, some kind of pandemic that will wipe out so many people. They're going to use war, division to wipe out so many people and then use the aliens to kill so many people. So you guys talk to me. Tell me what you're saying.
Boy, well, he pulled it up there, didn't he?
You know, I would say he's going to tell Congress something, but my concern is they going to lie to us about what he said.
Yeah.
I don't think the Congress going to let us know what he said if there's anything that's going to be given out to anybody as far as currency.
Well, you know, you got a group of people running around the country. One group that I ran into last year was saying that there was something called a Melchizedek Trust, a Bathsheba Trust, and an Esther Trust. And some of these people were saying that everybody on the planet was going to get $1 billion.
Yes, they did. Yes,
so is this the Jubilee? Is this happening? Is this getting ready to happen? Well, no, it couldn't have been because they said it was supposed to happen last year. But maybe they were a year short.
Well, they got the money.
Thank you.
Yeah, they got it.
To give every person on the planet $1 billion? Ooh.
No, they ain't got that.
Oh.
They can handle $1 million. But like my boss man said, and he was a practicing rabbi, he said this to me about 10 years ago. He said, "Chuck, they going to give y'all some money, but you know what you're going to do?" He said, 6 months later, y'all really gave it back to them. I said, why? He said, y'all don't own nothing.
That's right.
That's what he said to me.
Your line is not coming in clear a lot to you. Mm-hmm. Your line, your voice is faint.
Who, me?
No, I said a lot to her voice.
Oh.
I'm asking, what did he say that in 6 months we'd give it all back to him, or were they going to take it back to their banks?
He said, Chucky, if we give you the money, he said, 6 months later, he said, your people have been and gave it back to us because you don't own anything.
Okay, let's open up the Q&A. Let's let some of these people come in. Let's let some of the
Q&A session started.
I'm going to start Q&A. You can come in and get into this discussion. I wanted to discuss the third crown in there, which is the crown of ecclesiastical sees, and how the Pope has claimed everyone's soul through baptism. If you've ever been baptized, if you've ever been baptized, the ritual of baptism through the Bar Association that the professor alluded to a moment ago is caught up in the third crown. If you've been baptized, now some of the Baptist Pentecostal people are going to have a problem here with me, but you've got to know what these rituals mean and what it means, because what we've been given is not what we think we've been given.
Okay, our parents, specifically the mother, becomes a witness for the state against us when we're too little to even know, when we're babies and born, our birth certificate is signed by the mother. And then a lot of times, particularly in the Catholic religion, babies are baptized at what, 3, 4, 6, 5 months old?
In the Catholic, the Protestants normally don't do that before a child is able to make a choice. I mean, the Protestants, excuse me. Normally, it had been a practice, but now you don't know what people are doing. Anything goes now. I mean, doctrine and dogmas are so messed up. But my point is this, is that the third crown now, if you've been baptized, that's something. This crown was in England, and it fell to England to the Templars. And the Templars became the Bar Association. And now the Bar Associations are the administrators of this third crown, which is the crown of ecclesiastical sees. So now you are declared as a lost soul at sea.
Yep.
And by virtue of baptism, that falls out of the birth certificate, which is a BERT certificate. You come through the canal, the birth canal, out of the waters of the mother's womb. You are birthed. And then you are docked with a doctor at the ward, which is a hospital. And when you are baptized, now, whether you've been baptized, and this third crown now means that the Bar Association are the reapers of souls.
Wow.
The reapers of souls. So when you go to court, you're on the sea. You're in maritime law. Maritime law. If you have a marriage license that has to go to the registrar, a car that is registered, a house that has a deed, look at it closely. These three crowns claim land, flesh, and souls.
Wow.
So now, is the Pope coming to relinquish these three crowns?
Right.
And pronounce a grand jubilee to the world?
Okay.
I'm saying he's coming to do that.
Huh?
You guys are letting me get away with bloody murder. Why are you guys not contesting me? Those of you that want to get into the discussion, I have some good news for you. I have some good news for those of you who seem to be distraught, because we seem to be caught between a rock and a hard place and seem not to have a way out of this.
What do we do, everyone? I can hear your minds. I can hear you. Is there someone in the, I think that's my brother, Omar, Professor. Hold on. Omar.
Peace and love.
Yes, sir. Come on, sir.
Anyway, you can get out of it. Because if you agree to that all capital name, and you agree to anything to it, even with the court, if you don't reserve your rights in the court, because you got a right to reserve it, and if the court asks you to, because you give the court your name, say John Doe, and you just say John Doe, you do not write your name in all capital letters. You got to be specific in the courtroom. You can tell them, okay, I'll give you my name. My name is John, uppercase. And if you have to, spell it out. Now, they can't do that. They can't do nothing. They can't proceed with you because they can't deal with flesh and blood. They can deal with corporations all day.
And they deal with dead people.
Right. Until you got to speak this out.
So in other words, you're telling me, Omar, that we have to speak life into this straw man, to this corporate fiction that is created by these Sestikivai 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, because all that is an illusion. Like I keep telling people, go look at The Wizard of Oz. It was all an illusion.
Wow, wow.
We living in a world of illusion.
Yep.
We supposed to be living in a world of peace, truth, justice, freedom, and love.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Like I said, the rabbit holes get deeper than that.
So now listen, there are people that are listening to this that want to know, how do we really, you know, because I watch a lot of people, listen to a lot of people, talk about how to get out of this court thing and how to be a free man, sovereign man on the land. I've even heard about some people going to jail trying this stuff, okay?
Yes, they do.
And some of these people are really, really, really smart, like Dean Clifford up in Canada, who's under the British Crown, and Santos Bonacci, who's over in Australia, who's up under the British Crown, which is in America, whether you know it or not, is under the British Crown, okay? We're still under the British Crown. And I listen to these people, man. They have some pretty good presentations. But then all of a sudden I look up and these people are in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Or they disappear.
Yes.
Or they get quiet like Jordan Maxwell.
Yep.
Because guess why? They telling the truth.
Okay. So me having this broadcast tonight talking about this, can I expect them to come after me? That's why I said they getting ready to turn us loose. Y'all hear me? You know, I'm on you guys' side. I'm saying you guys getting ready to do a good thing.
Yeah, but even with me, they can come and get me, but like I tell them, I'm going to still stand on my square. The Creator is powerful than y'all, because the only thing you going to do is kill this body. My soul and my spirit goes back to where it came from.
We are free. We are free.
You're already free. You just got to speak and let them know that.
That's right.
You got to let...
Let me stop you and ask you one short question right now. Are we really free without having the consciousness of freedom? You're speaking to me now, a consciousness. What if a person dies without this consciousness? Do they harvest that person's soul's energy?
Oh, yeah. Put you back on the hamster wheel through the moon.
Say what? Say that. Your phone is not coming in.
They put you back on the hamster wheel via the moon.
Now, you're throwing out some knowledge. Now, take a minute to tell us what that means a lot.
Well, that's why the Vatican, back at the Council of Nicaea, they made sure that they took out Origen's teachings of 400 or 500 years when they done all this, to make sure that that didn't make it in there, because they couldn't have folks around here knowing that they were eternal beings. And then they had to give us a damnation in hell to make us fear death. So we had to toe the mark, toe the line for whatever the Vatican said we're supposed to be good children of God. And they already know that this is not just one lifetime or eternal. And they capture our soul by our lack of knowledge, and they send us via, there's a moon, this big huge tower up there, folks, it's over a mile high. I forget all the technicalities of how they do it, but when you die, they tell you to go into the light. That's the last thing you want to do is go into the light, because that's how they trap you. You're coming right back out over here again. And so they keep you in a perpetual motion around and around, and they remove all your memory from you. But with these energies coming in from the universe now, we're beginning to wake up with our memories in this world again, and we're saying we're not doing this again.
Okay, now that's where I want to get to in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Professor is back in the queue. Your mic is open. Professor, Dawoo, are you there? I just got a text from him. Wait a minute. It went off. See if I can get him back open. Because don't leave. Don't touch this dial, because I'm going to give you some very, very important information here in a moment. Dawoo, Professor, your mic is open. I don't know what's going on here. Professor, can you hear me? Your mic is open. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, let me drop you and see if I can get him in.